If, at various times during the past month, you've wanted to scream at politicians to stop complaining about one another and talk about things that matter to you, oh, you're not alone.
You called them tax cheats. These are the people in our community.
For the wealthiest,
they are saving up money
for services,
to open up
for
a second
everyone
location,
else.
Investing
That's
in people's
what you're
training.
Gentlemen,
and education.
No one can understand anything Mr. Blanchet wants in. Mr. Scheer, Mr. Blanchet.
Both experts in Rosemary Barton gets to do that live on television. The rest of us get to complain on Facebook and Twitter. But here is the question that has been nagging at me during this whole campaign. Is the complaint that this campaign is all name-calling and no policy actually reflective of what most Canadians want? Or is it just something that we like to say because it reflects well on us? I'm not judging here, I'm just wondering. Think about the last time you had a casual political chat with somebody in real life. Did you use that chat to dissect the climate platforms of the various parties and assess their cuts to greenhouse gases? Or did you wonder why Andrew Scheer is a dual citizen or laugh at Justin Trudeau's moral hypocrisy when it comes to candidates with questionable pasts?
I was born in Canada. My mom was born in Mississauga. My dad was born in the United States. I grew up my whole life in Canada. And that's how I've always never tried to hide that.
Andrew Scheer went after the Liberals for using two planes, one plane to carry people, the other, I'm told, to carry cargo. I want you to take a look at how that...
Meanwhile, what we're trying to figure out today is what this campaign is actually about and what Canadians want from it. Is it about race? Or is it about accusations of racism? Is it about the climate crisis? Or about how much or little the carbon tax will hurt you personally? Is it about big policy ideas? Or is it about things your local candidate said and now have to apologize for? I think we would all like this election to be about big policy ideas. It's just that there's less than 2 weeks to go. And I'm not sure we've actually dug into anything yet. So can we? Please? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Cormac McSweeney covers Parliament Hill and this entire election campaign for Rogers Radio and for City News and for us. Hi, Cormac. Are you tired yet?
I'm trying to drink as much caffeine as possible to keep myself going, but I'm going to get through it, I think. I'll survive.
If I had to ask you, because you've been on whatever the biggest story of the day is, kind of as this campaign has rolled on, if I asked you to pick a theme or something larger than, you know, the issue of the day, what would you say this election has been about? Has it been about anything?
You know, I think there are some really important policy discussions to be had and a lot of very important and very big promises being made by a lot of the parties in this election. And yet, it seems like the focus and the spotlight throughout the campaign has more been about the controversies and the politics and the political fights and the nastiness than the actual policies that the parties are putting forward. And it's happening in a way that I think is unlike anything we've really seen in previous elections in the lead up to this.
Give us an example for people who haven't been following this, you know, day to day to day. What it's been like to have these mini scandals sort of pop up in a news cycle.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, you're trying to focus on the announcements of the party leaders and what exactly they're proposing. And you want to try and dig through the numbers and let voters know whether things add up or not in their platforms, whether this seems like it's a plan that would be good for the nation, what the science says on X or what the studies say on Y. And yet, constantly, while you're trying to look into these things, you're being bombarded with some mini scandals, some much larger big scandals that need to be discussed. I mean, we've seen so many candidates have their past thrown at them, which we have seen in other elections as well. But it's been growing, increasing with every election that we see previous comments or social media posts, which I think does play a role in all of this. Coming back to haunt candidates and party leaders who have to decide whether they stand by this person over, you know, something they may have said in the past that is misogynistic or homophobic or anti or pro-abortion. So these sorts of things have been popping up left, right, and center. But then again, you've got these big ones that really just, they're more than just a flash in the pan day or two story. They've lasted throughout this campaign. I mean, who'd have thought months ago that during this election campaign, we would have an incumbent prime minister on the campaign trail dealing with a blackface scandal with multiple photos popping up. But then also, not to be outdone, I mean, we have the leader of the opposition who has come out saying, I want to be prime minister of the country. And then we find out that all along they had been a dual citizen, an American-Canadian citizen. And, you know, that's something that I don't think anybody could have predicted during this campaign. And it really has derailed the messaging for the party leaders and taken them off message because they're dealing with these scandals, but also diverted the attention from voters away from the policies and onto these major and sometimes not so major, but these scandals and controversies that have been popping up left, right, and center on this campaign.
It's interesting that you mentioned the brown face and blackface scandal because it kind of gets at what I want to ask you about the larger focus. When that scandal broke, we had a reporter named Fatima Syed on this podcast, and she told us at length how it was symbolic of the fact that the whole campaign was about race and that, you know, we're dealing with anti-immigration movement. There is a party that espouses some pretty racist messages, and, you know, they ended up on the debate stage and sort of all of that. And she said, you know, the one good thing that could come out of this scandal is maybe a larger discussion about the role race plays in Canadian politics. And that was 2 weeks ago. And I haven't heard it, but you've been on the campaign. So I'll ask you, did that happen? Did we reckon with race in a larger way? Or was it just like, hey, that's a scandal. Trudeau is racist.
I don't think we're getting into the discussions that do need to be had about systemic racism, about privilege in our society, and the real core matters at the heart of these controversies and that specific controversy. You know, we did hear the apology from the prime minister, his vow to do better and to move forward, and it did spark a discussion, but the nature of campaigns anyway is that things don't always hang around every single day. And the parties are tossing ideas, announcements, policy proposals at you left, right, and center. And so it's if we were, let's say, in the spring sitting of Parliament and this popped up, this would dominate for much longer than it probably did an election campaign, right, just because of the nature of a campaign and the news cycle that comes with that. That we're very quickly on to the next issue, the next topic. But I think rightfully so, there should be a larger conversation about this. It has happened in the past where we started talking about this in the SNC-Lavalin scandal issue, but as well as a number of other issues that have popped up when it comes to systemic racism against people across the country on a variety of different issues. But, you know, looking at that that scandal and really having the leader of a country involved in something like that should spark a much larger discussion. Whether we get that after the campaign or not remains to be seen. But I think there is a very valid argument that there needs to be more of a focus on issues like this and how we can continue to stamp this out in the future.
Well, you mentioned earlier that one of the reasons this campaign is a little different from past ones is just because of the added focus on social media presence in the past of some of the candidates, but also where the campaign takes place. What has social media done to make this campaign different from past ones?
Well, look, the news cycle changed a while back when it came to social media. All of a sudden, we have people who are spreading information in a very quick manner. And parties have adapted to that. So all of a sudden, a small spark of a controversial story can turn into a huge blaze, you know, going viral, if you will, on anything. And it could be good. It could be a good story that all of a sudden picks up steam. But more often than not, we see bad stories. And let's face it, anybody who's gone on Twitter can see how nasty it can be on Twitter. And people like to spread information, dirt on their opponents in such a fashion that I scroll through my notifications. I've stopped looking at a lot of my notifications because it's just nastiness left, right, and center. Mm-hmm. And I think the parties also have a big role to play as to why this is nasty. It's not just social media. Social media is an outlet, and a lot of voters are using that platform to spread, whether it's misinformation, and that's a wholly a totally different conversation, but misinformation is a big problem in this as well, because people are spreading rumors and stories that have no shred of evidence behind them, and yet they're using it to try and take down their political opponents. Now, the parties are also kind of responsible for what we're seeing in terms of this campaign being just a big mudslinging fest, because, you know, they've sort of made it that way. Justin Trudeau, the Liberal leader, said a while back that he thought this was going to be one of the nastiest campaigns ever. And from what we've seen, it has been. I mean, it was an accurate prediction, I guess, but the campaigns have not really done a lot to stop it. They're trying to take down their opponents at every chance they get. You see Liberal Justin Trudeau talking down Conservative Andrew Scheer and bashing him every chance, saying this is a choice between the Liberals and the Conservatives, and he's trying to take down Scheer with everything he's got. Scheer, as well, is doing the exact same thing. I mean, we look at just the first and final English language debate with all of the leaders on the stage, and all we saw, like, right off the bat, Conservative Andrew Scheer started calling Justin Trudeau a fraud and a phony, and brought up the blackface scandal. And it went from there, where almost every party leader was getting in on sometimes personal and nasty attacks on each other, sometimes more policy-based, but it seemed like everybody had their zingers ready to go, and it didn't matter what the topic was in conversation, they just wanted to try and squeeze out their attacks to try and make the news cut and get the headline that they were looking for to try and win those debates. So I think as well the parties bear a lot of the responsibility in this. It's not just the fact that we live in a new age where nasty campaigns can spread really quickly on social media, but if you're, you know, pushing those nasty attack lines along and maybe starting them, then we're going to see this happen where it just turns into a big slugfest, if you will, rather than the focus being more on policy. And I think, you know, again, to come back to the English language debate that was held by the commission, that was a chance for all of those leaders to sort of calm down, focus yes. a little bit more on the policies. And, you know, there are so many big promises that are being made in this election campaign. I would love to see a debate that was just focused on the policies and the differences between the policies, but you're seeing these attacks left, right, and center against the leaders, and that's what it came to. And I think every leader was kind of guilty of that in one way or another throughout that debate.
Well, that was the straw that broke our back in terms of recording an episode like this, is I was really hoping that after covering scandal after scandal after scandal through the first 3 weeks, that we would finally get into a debate where we could have a discussion on policy. And of course, that didn't happen despite the best efforts of some of the moderators. But if we didn't do it at the debate, are we ever going to do it? Like, how do we have the important discussions about policy? There's less than 2 weeks left.
I think one issue is that voters need to do their own homework. It's been said in every election, though, that voters really need to dig into the policy on their own. I encourage every listener not to just listen to what one party leader is saying about the other, because there are a lot of misleading statements, or, you know, the spin is being put on it where all they're doing is trying to take down their opponents. What will work best for you is to look at and compare all the policies from the major parties and say, what is the party that works best for me? What promises are going to improve my life? And, you know, there are some major issues being discussed in this election campaign that have just been not bypassed completely, but looked over or overshadowed, if you will, by a lot of those controversies.
I wanted to ask you that too, because so we have talked about the carbon tax, and we've had a lot of conversations about climate change, and we've had a bunch of conversations, and we'll have more about affordability and housing. But beyond that, because you have these things thrown at you all day, every day, what are the biggest issues that, like, nobody is even talking about right now?
Well, I don't know if nobody's talking about a lot of the announcements that have been put out there. I think a lot of news media outlets have been doing their best to try and shine a light on the policies as much as the politics. But, I mean, look at it. We've got an election campaign where pharmacare, affordable prescription drugs for all, how we implement that is another debate. But that's a major issue where all parties are putting forward one promise or another. I mean, the Liberals and NDP and the Greens say they want to institute a universal pharmacare program. Some parties are saying that that could include dental. Think about how that would change your life if your prescription drugs are covered through this national pharmacare program, or, you know, your dentist appointment is, especially for people who don't have that coverage right now. The Conservatives, mind you, are also pitching a different kind of approach, which is a fill-in-the-gap approach for people who don't have that kind of insurance through their work. We've yet to see the full platform from the Conservatives. But nonetheless, that's a huge issue that in other campaigns could be the defining issue of that campaign. And yet, you know, you're not really talking about it. I've chatted with friends from across the country about this election and family. And when I talk to them about the election, they seem to be focused more on the politics and the political fights rather than the policy as well. You also have gun control. It's a big issue. And I think that is getting more play than some of the other stuff. But nonetheless, it's a big issue. And it's being, again, a little bit overshadowed about whether or not we need to have a handgun ban in Canada or an assault weapon ban. There's a lot of help for home buying that the parties are pitching right now. There are tax cuts and tax credits galore being offered by almost all of the parties. You know, there's a huge discussion about the environment, which, of course, is the number one priority for voters. Multiple polls have shown that that is vaulted ahead of the economy as the number one issue for voters. And there are some big promises. I mean, you've got the Greens and the NDP promising to hit certain targets way faster than the Liberals could. The Liberals arguing that that would be awful for the environment. It's just not feasible. But they're also offering ambitious targets and saying we want to get to net zero emissions by 2050. You have the Conservatives who are promising a number of measures as well on climate change and a different approach on how to deal with this issue. And so it really is, it becomes an ideological battle over the environment, but very important conversations to be had, because how we deal with the environment and how we deal with the economy, they go hand in hand. And your point of view as a voter should matter a lot in this, because we could see a dramatic shift of greening our economy and moving off of fossil fuels, and what timeline that could be in your eyes. Or maybe you disagree with that. Maybe you think that, you know, this isn't as big of an emergency as others are making it out to be. And you don't think we should be, some people argued it could damage our economy. So there are huge issues that we have here that should be focused on more than they probably are. And I'm not saying that, you know, the news isn't doing that. I just mean voters are being distracted by a lot of the mudslinging that's going on and the controversies that have popped up. And so, again, I think the parties are a part of the issue with all of this by digging up dirt on their opponents, getting it out there. But at the same time, you know, I think in the end, voters, if they really want to focus on what's going to be best for them, they should take a look at each party platform. Still waiting on the Conservatives, but the other parties have released their platforms, and do their own homework and decide what works best for them, because there are some major promises being put forward. Some of them may seem similar, but the devil could be in the details for you as a voter about which plan might work best for you on a variety of different issues.
Well, climate's a perfect example, because there's, on the one hand, there's an incredible variety of expansive promises and policy to deal with it. On the other hand, probably the biggest dent it left last week was the conversation over how the leaders get around the country, which is obviously like the smallest thing about the biggest policy, yet somehow that's what we talked about for a day.
Yeah, and I think it's going to continue for these final days of the campaign that there will be accusations thrown around, and that's what people will focus on. But I think if the leaders really, really want voters to focus on their policy platforms, they're going to start focusing less on attacking their opponents and start focusing more on what they're offering to voters. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to hear that double-pronged approach. You're starting to hear a lot of leaders now where they're mixing the two. They're tossing in what they're offering to voters, but they're also taking down their opponent in the same breath. And I voter apathy is a big issue. It always is in almost every federal campaign. There are always questions afterwards about why a certain chunk of the voting public never made it out to the polls. And, you know, there have been stories already done about how young voters right now don't feel inspired by any of the party leaders. And you look at the polls, they swing drastically between 16 and 30% in terms of undecided voters out there. But either way, there's a big chunk of people who just don't know how they want to vote in this election. And, you know, you want to look at why that is. The NDP is blaming the record of Trudeau. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh was asked about voter apathy and people not getting excited about this election campaign. And he said it's because the Liberals didn't follow through on their promises, on some big promises from the 2015 campaign. And so they feel left out. And there might be some truth to that, that, you know, issues like electoral reform, which ticked off a lot of people who feel very passionately about that, or, you know, whether it be the controversies and scandals that have hit the Liberals during their time in power. They knew that they were going to have to campaign on their record, and there are some skeletons in the closet for the Liberals in regards to that, whether it be the SNC-Lavalin affair or, the issues around buying a pipeline while also claiming to be a climate leader, which is something that has been an attack line by other parties against Trudeau. So there's something to be said about that. But also, you know, you're seeing the Conservatives jump at every chance they get to take Trudeau down a notch and try and call him a fraud and a phony, as Andrew Scheer said. But there have been struggles from other progressive parties to build any sort of momentum around them as an alternative choice. The NDP is still hovering around 14 or 16%. In a lot of the polls, the Greens have ticked up, but they've kind of plateaued. They're stuck at around 10%, and that's across the country. So it's not clear yet how that might work out in terms of vote totals and seats. But they haven't really, it appears, done enough so far to really inspire voters to rally around them, despite what they've said, despite what they've done in this campaign. And so we're left in this situation where, you know, we just have all of these attack lines, some very important policies and policy discussions that should be had that are kind of being overshadowed by controversies, and a lot of voters just kind of shrugging and saying, I'm not sure what to do, especially if the 30% mark is true. If that's, I believe Abacus Datus had that number, but if it's 30%, that's almost one in three Canadians. That's a lot of people to be struggling to decide who they want to vote for so close to Election Day.
Well, maybe they will finally get some policy to make up their minds. Can always hope, right?
Well, most of the policies out there, and yeah. I think that's one of the things too, is most of the policies have been out there.
Yeah, go looking.
Yeah,
for
go
it.
Searching on your own. That's never changed. In every election, a lot of people do fall into what they see on the news rather than actually doing the hard digging on these things. And, you know, news outlets try to do their best to get as much information out there as they possibly can on some of these issues. But a lot of that also still depends. And it's been like that for decades. It's not just social media or just, you know, the TV news cycle, radio news cycle. A lot of that has to do with voters. Just you can only get so much from the news. And if you want to do your digging as to what the best policy platform is, what the best plan is for the country, you're going to have to go online. You're going to have to check out the websites. You're going to have to read through the policies yourself and make that decision. Some people already knew that going into the campaign. They knew where they were going to put their vote. Some people decided throughout, you know, all of this, who they want to mark their X next to on that ballot. But clearly there's a big chunk of the voting public who still don't know where they want to do that. And if you don't know where you want to vote or who you want to vote for, I strongly urge you to do your homework.
Well, if you want to do your homework next week, we have four episodes next week, the top four issues for voting Canadians. And each one of them will be broken down by an unbiased reporter, expert, scientist. And they will just tell you where the parties stand on everything. So we're your cheat sheet next week.
You're doing a public service, Jordan. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome, Cormac. Thank you for running all over Canada to cover this. We will catch up with you maybe once the polls close.
Excellent.
Cormac McSweeney has about 2 weeks to go before he can finally rest. And that was the big story. For more from us, including times when we have tried to talk policy, I'm not sure you listened. You can go to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also tell us what kind of policy we should talk on Twitter, @thebigstoryfpn. And you can find us and listen and rate and review. And we would like 5 stars, please, if you have them to hand out. Wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, pick one. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.